sermon outline. What's the title of our message for this day of celebration? Say it again.
Promotion to the next level.
Promotion to the next level. Amen. Promotion Sunday is finally here. Praise God. And we are so glad for those of you who are promoting and graduating. Amen. From your various schools. And also for the promotions that are taking place here at Glenville New Life. Because many of you are moving to the next level in your youth worship church program here. So if we could just take a moment, all graduates and those who have promoted, if you would just stand. Amen. And we just want to praise God for you today. Praise God for you today. We celebrate you. Amen. Congratulations. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Praise God, Marvin. Let's join our hearts in prayer, saints. We say thank you, Lord, for the privilege of your presence in our midst and for the opportunity to celebrate, what you're doing in our lives and, Lord, what you're accomplishing in and through we, your people. And we say thank you today. Lord, we thank you that you know all about us, our past, and, Lord, our present and our future. And we acknowledge that indeed you are the potter and we are the clay. Lord, we are the work of your hands. And we ask that you would continue, Lord, to do your reshaping and your molding of our lives, just shaping us individually and together, Lord, as the people of God that you want us to be, the young people of God that you desire for us to be, the men and women of God, Lord, that you desire for us to be. And our prayer is, make it so, Lord God. And Lord, as we listen actively to the preaching of your word this day, may we be not only hearers, O God, but to go forth and be doers of your precious word as well. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that all God's saints join together to say, amen and amen, amen. Speaking of our youth worship, I just want to share a few short letters written to God by students, which their teacher asked them to submit these letters after they had finished the study going through Genesis. And this is what the letters came forth. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in the church. Is that okay? Neil, dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the one you already got now? Jane, dear God, I think the stapler is one of your greatest inventions. Ruth, dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy? Jennifer, dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There's only four people in our family, and I can never do it. Man, dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes. Mickey, dear God, we read Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school, our teacher taught us that you did it, so I bet he stole your idea. Sincerely, Donna. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not be killing each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with me and my brother, Larry. And I'll end with this letter. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Joyce, praise God. Thanks, Susan, for sharing that email with me. Praise God. And we want to say congratulations to all of our students here. Amen. Congratulations on your promotion. Congratulations on your graduation. And Webster's Dictionary, saints, defines promote as to rise to a higher position or a higher rank and to further the growth or establishment of. So, saints, the second part of the definition says that to promote someone, to promote something, is to further the growth or the establishment of. So, saints, not only does God desire to bring us into a position of increased responsibility. Everybody say increased responsibility. Greek. Amen. Based on our willingness to serve and our desire to love the Lord, God is also focused on our continued growth. Amen. Everybody say continued growth. Amen. And establishment as we move toward the place for which God has for us. Now, when I think of how God does this, everything that God has placed within us, saints, has been placed there for the edification of the body of Christ, to be a blessing for the body of Christ, and for God's glory, amen, and for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. So when God is actively promoting us, one of the things that God does is to bring us in the presence of others where our gifts that God has placed inside can be utilized and even at times appreciated by others. Let's read together Proverbs 18:16, and it says, a gift opens the way for the giver. Amen. So, saints, when we use our gifts, everybody say, use our gifts. When we use our talents, amen, to help others, they become a gift to the person or to the people that are receiving it. Amen. When I was a Girl Scout and we were doing camping, I had a gift, an ability, a talent that it seemed to have been really appreciated. I had a knack of being able to spot bugs in the tent, and I'll say it in a nice way, disposing of them. All right. All right. If you were in that tent, I will kill you. All right. All right. So it was like, oh, we want her in our tent. We want her over here, because I was good at it. And I got good at it because I'm so allergic to every bite that I get that it takes days and weeks and months, depending on what bit me, to recover. So I developed this, I'm going to get you before you get me. You know, because when I go to sleep, I have been bitten. One time I went to sleep, I got bit by a spider in the face. It took months for that to heal. And so I have, like, these eyes that can spot bugs from miles away, actually. You know, it's so funny that our girls, our nieces, when they came to stay with us, and they would say, knock on, and they'd say, Aunt Toby. I said, what is it? And I knew when they were poor, like, they didn't like the spiders and things. I'd go right in there. I knew Superwoman was going in there. I know how to get rid of them. Oh, yeah. And so it was a talent, though, but it opened a way for me because people liked the gift that I had. So I was, you know, my talent was in demand. But when you are willing to use your gifts for God, everybody say for God, for God, God will be a promoter for you. Amen. God will make sure, hallelujah, that you will be using those gifts and talents. He's going to give you the opportunity. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that's one of the definitions of to promote. And that's having someone push you forward. How many ever had somebody push you forward because you sure wasn't going to do it? And so they was all right, they just pushed you forward. Amen. Praise God. Well, in this message, we're not going to focus on God promoting us like an agent today. But today our focus is on what God desires to do within us. Everybody say within us. Within us, to bring us to a higher and stronger place in God. So let's look at the first part of the definition of promote. It says to promote means to rise to a higher position or rank. It is something that is earned, amen, or given to you based on your accomplishments. Let me share a story of a class of high school sophomores who had been assigned a term paper. Now, the day of reckoning had come, and the papers were due to be handed in. And the teacher knew that a particular student named Jay had not been working steadily on his paper as the others had in the class. And she just knew he was going to be prepared with some kind of excuse. And so when the teacher came around to collect the papers, Jay said, my dog ate it. All right. All right. And the teacher, who had heard them all, right, teachers, you've heard them all. Amen. She gave Jay a look of like, you know, I don't believe what you're saying. But Jay kept insisting to her and insisting and persisting. It's true. It's true. I had to force him, but he ate it. We all know, saints, in order to move from one grade to another, amen, you had to do the work, amen. You had to pass the test. If you didn't pass enough tests to show that you had learned what you were supposed to have learned, then you would have failed and you would have to repeat the grade again. If you did the work, if you demonstrated that you completed the requirements, you could go on to the higher level, amen? Well, the important thing is to remember is that you could not get promoted unless you learned what you were supposed to learn, amen? Why does it work this way? As you move up in the grade, saints, the lessons become harder and harder, all right? Can I get a testimony? Amen. Praise God. Every level gets harder and harder. And every time you get promoted to another level, the expectation is that you learn what you were supposed to learn at the previous level. Amen. So that you can continue learning and building on what you've already learned. Now, there were certain experiences and accomplishments that you had to have met to have deserved your promotion, to have deserved your degree and graduation. And whatever it took for you to be promoted or to graduate, there was a process. Everybody say process. Process of you doing something, amen, to get ready for your promotion. So whether you were promoted at school, whether we get promoted on our jobs, amen, praise God, once you receive that promotion, you had to be ready for it. All right, in school, you have to be ready to start learning and start getting ready to receive what the teacher and professor has for you on this new level. Katie and Walter were sharing with us yesterday that one of Jessica's classes in Bowling Green, the professor has you sitting up. You're not allowed to come in class like this. You have to be like this, paying attention, and not acting like, you know how sometimes we just get in like, oh, this is so boring. If you act like that, you got to leave the class because you got to even look like you want to learn. Amen. So you got to prepare yourself to learn. Praise God. All right, saints. Now, for those of us on the job, we have to prove and that we can handle the new responsibilities. Sometimes we start supervising others that we never supervised before. It's a new level, and we have to be ready. Amen. And God wants to bring us to a stronger place. God wants to bring all of us to a higher place so that God can fully utilize us for the work that God has called us to do. Now, saints, the GCG, they sang for us, and it was just so good. God wants God's best for you, amen? And God has already put these gifts and talents inside of you, and so you got to be saying, yes, Lord, yes, I'm going to use what you've given me. So let's look here at Proverbs 9, verse 9, and let's read that together. All right, this is about being instructed, the wise. Here we go. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. All right. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look wiser than you did a year ago. You look wiser than you did a year ago. Wow. Praise God. Amen. 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 God has a desire, saints, to bring us to a stronger place, to bring us to a higher place, so that God can fully utilize us for the work God has called us to do. Now, graduates and promotees, as a special reminder, amen, I am going to use this prop, and some of you all will recognize it as soon as you see it, amen. And it is a candy product, and it is called M&M's, amen, M&M's. All right, now this simple little product has been one of the best selling candies, amen, for many years. It's one of those rare treats, amen, that's enjoyed by every generation. I don't care what generation you're in, every generation loves M&M's, amen. Now, M&M's are noted for three qualities, and one is on the inside, that chocolate, just Can you taste it now? Oh my goodness, let me get a sip of water and wash that chocolate down. Oh, so good, amen. And then another trait is the outside. It's got a hard candy shell. Oh, it's just crunching on it. It's just so delicious. And then the third trait that it has, it's marked with a what? M. Every M&M is marked with an M. Now, Pastor Rick, he watches this show on TV, and it tells how all kind of products that we consume are made. And I don't even know what the name of the show is, but I've come in on some of them, and they have been so interesting. So one day they were showing how M&Ms were made. Now, the milk chocolate, saints, in the M&Ms, it's poured into molds, these little tiny molds, and they move along on this conveyor belt, okay? All right? And even though the chocolate is tasty, what makes the M&Ms different, saints, from other chocolates is that it is covered with this delicious hard shell, all right? And it's moved in large batches of 2.6 million each daily. That's a lot of M&Ms. And then they're sifted, and those that maybe are too soft, maybe some are a little misshapen, it might look like this, or you know, something like that, then they just are kind of dropped from the line of the process, okay? So they want the M&Ms to have a certain shape, all right? And while they're batched together for spraying and hardening, there's a point that each M&M has to get that stamp, that M, on them. And when that happens, each individual candy, it's on the conveyor belt, and it finds its own little slot. It has its own slot. And then it gets its own M. M. Every last one of them gets that mark. Amen. And then they are packaged and they shipped all over the world as the candy that melts in your but not. Amen. 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 So I want you at this point to turn to your neighbor, because things like an M&M candy, you have the right stuff inside of you. And I want you to just encourage your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you have the right stuff inside of you. You got the right stuff inside of you. Amen. Like that M&M candy, you got the right stuff inside of you. And the maturity process, young people, it calls for you, along with those in your generation, to enter into a period with which your beliefs and your values and your lifestyle is going to be shaped and molded. Amen. We're all on a journey. Say that. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. And our goal, saints, is to be pleasing to God. That's the overall goal while we're on this journey, to be pleasing to God and to hear the words, well done. How many want to hear those words? Well done. Hearing those words mean that you have had a life well spent. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Well, saints, along the way, we're all on this sifting process. And, Lord, it continues. And we find out that there are many distractions and many temptations along this journey. Amen. And, young people, it takes focus. Everybody say focus.
Focus.
Focus to finish what we start, because there's so many competing distractions in our lives. There are many battles throughout the Christian's life. Amen. In fact, tell your neighbor, it's a daily battle. Oh, it's a daily, daily, daily battle. What are distractions? Distractions are anything that gets our attention off of what our mind should be on. Amen. That's a distraction. Anything that gets our attention off what we should be on. All right, but one thing for sure, saints, is that life is a battle from beginning to end. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world. So let's read that together. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. And it reads, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Amen. I want you to remind your neighbor, say, neighbor, there are weapons of mass destruction out to destroy you. There are weapons of mass destruction out to destroy you. All right. Paul has told us that. Amen. In the midst of that, we are to make a kingdom impact. Hallelujah. So young people, graduates, promotees, we your pastors. Amen. We want you to know that your family, your church family, your teachers, your principals. We are in your balcony. We're in your balcony. Oh, we love you. We love you. We are in your balcony. And we want you to know that the path of your success that you are on is yours. It's yours for the taking. High five your neighbor and say, it's yours. It's yours for the taking. Amen. It's yours. But you have to decide whether or not you're going to stay on that path of success or whether or not you're going to be distracted or you allow yourself to be tempted off of that path of success by just thinking, oh, I'm going to go on this easy street. Oh, I'm going to just cut corners over here, because cutting corners and easy street won't get you where you really want to be and where God wants you to be. Amen. Now, young people, the path that leads to your destruction, it never has this great big sign on it that says, this is the road to take if you want to mess up your life. That is a sign that will be up there. The sign is more seductive. It's more glamorous. And it usually says something more like, you need some quick money? It might say something like, you want to have some fun? It might say something like, you want to get your parents off your back? Woo! It might be something like, ooh, baby, I really love you. It's going to be more like that. Amen. And almost everybody who heads down the road to destruction, oh, we plan to get off of it before we crash. Oh, we going to get off of it before we crash. But unfortunately, everybody say unfortunately. We all, every one of us, have members in our family who they weren't able to get off before that crash took place. And they try to tell us. They say, don't make the same mistakes I made. Don't make the same mistakes I made. But many times, we got deaf ears. We got our iPods in. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? Just because it happened to you, don't mean it's going to happen to me. Just because it happened to you, don't mean it's going to happen to me. Oh, yeah. Y'all like that song too much. But that's what some of y'all be saying. Just because it happened to you, don't mean it's going to happen to me. Hallelujah. But we, your pastors, your church family, your families, we love you, and we want you to know, yes, it can happen to you. Yes, it can. It can happen to you if you do not make wise choices with your lives. Amen. The saints, I just want to share with you young people a few action steps. And the first is practice saying yes. Yes to God. Amen. Yes to God's priorities in your life. Everybody, let's all practice right now. Let's look up and say, yes. Yes, God. Yes to your priorities. Yes to your will for my life. Yes. 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 Amen. He's got to keep on practicing that. And the best way to not be distracted is to be attracted to those things that are in the heart of God. Find out what makes God's heart joyful, loving, and healing, and serving. Just find out what makes God's heart so happy, and then be attracted to those things. And once we're aware of God's heart, and then we're attracted to those things that God loves, we will commit ourselves to complete devotion and commitment to the Lord. So we'll be saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, to your will. That's what you want me to do? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And then the second thing is, practice saying no. No to the devil's distractions and temptations to you. And when we say no, let's look down when we say no. No. No, devil. You a liar. Get behind me. Come on, let's practice that again. No, no, devil. No, devil. Yes, Lord. No, devil. All right. Now, you might have to go home and practice that. But maybe you shouldn't do it outside quite like that unless you tell your neighbors exactly what you're out there doing. Yes. No. No. All right. Just give them a warning. You know, pastor said practice. That's what I'm doing. Amen. Praise God. talking to the tree, yes, no, yes, no. Just explain before you do it, amen. Praise God. And saints, one of the most helpful things that all of us can do to resist temptation is to remember that God has called all of us to a great task. Just touch your neighbor. You've been called to a great task. You've been called to a great task. You've been called to a great. You've been called. You've been called. You've been called to a great task. God has called each of us to a great task. This is true of every believer in Christ. We are called to make a kingdom impact. Our young people for Youth Day, they chose an awesome theme this year, and that was kingdom restoration. We've all been called to make a kingdom impact. Amen. And how do we make a kingdom impact? One thing is taking instruction from the Word of God. We have to open this Word. We have to open it up on our own. And then we have to come together for Bible study and life sharing and be taught. Then we have to come, and when we have worship, and listen to the preaching of God's Word. And then we need to be a part of the small groups that we offer here. We've got life sharing, pioneers, woo, woo, youth worship, woo, woo, amen. Young ladies of faith, woo, young men of arms, woo, woo, true love waits, amen. Spiritual journey, woo, woo, amen. Yeah. Men who excel, sisters in the Lord. Amen. And I wanted to say one more. Mary Sensation. Hallelujah. Ooh, yeah. And there's many more groups. Amen. These small groups offered here at Glenville New Life Community Church, they equip us to be and support us to be able to stand. Amen. To be able to be bold in the pursuit of our goals, bold in the pursuit of our dreams, giving praise and glory to God and to God alone. Praise God, saints, as Christians, we got to strive to pace our journey, amen, so that God will be well pleased and will say, well done, amen, so that we will have a life well spent. Well, surrounding our New Testament text that Hassan read for us, Philippians 3, this text focuses on the Apostle Paul as he explains the importance of each person living his or her own life according to the measure, amen, that God had given. And Paul has been given, we see, a specific mission by God. And it was to open the doors of opportunity to let those who didn't know about Jesus Christ, to let them know that Jesus saves and that Jesus loves you. Those who had never heard it before, that was Paul's mission. Paul was able to take the gospel message where no one had gone before, all right? Charting new frontiers, amen, and horizons. Now, those of you who are Trekkies, you ought to really have said amen to that one. Praise God. All right, go where no one has gone before. That's what Paul did. And that's how Paul got to Corinth. His journey started in the book of Acts. And then it started there back with that Macedonian call where he had a vision one night. And it says, come across into Europe and help us. It was a vision. And when he woke up in response to that vision, it landed him in Philippi. So there he was in Philippi. Scripture tells us Paul got into all kinds of trouble. And he ended up in jail, amen. And when he got out of jail, he went to the next city, Thessalonica. And again, he preached the love of Jesus Christ and that Jesus is salvation in Jesus. His preaching aroused so much ruckus, they just drove him out of town. They said, get out, get out. And then the next town he went to was Berea. Once again, there was so much trouble, a riot broke out, say. He had to leave there at night, you know, he had to get out of there. And then he found himself in Athens, amen. It was only 50 miles east of Corinth. He preached there on Mars Hill, hallelujah. And he just kept on preaching. He was there himself, but he was armed with the power and spirit of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. And he kept on preaching. He kept on teaching throughout the cities so that all would know that Jesus saves. And you know, saints, we look at Paul, and he remained loyal to his task. He remained loyal to his mission, spreading the gospel to distant regions. And it was a task. Everybody say task. Task for which he had been given special gifts and special abilities for which God opened up. God was his promoter. God opened up doors. God gave him opportunities to be able to go and to be successful and to go in and preach the good news of Jesus Christ to complete his task. You see, Paul, he had something good on the inside. Amen. He had a good gift that was there on the inside. And Paul suggests in the final analysis that each and every person would be measured by his or her use. Everybody say use. Use of the gift that had been given to you. Not by what anybody else is doing. No, but what you are doing with the gift God gave you. Amen. In Romans 12, 3 through 6, he tells us not to get a big head. Amen. Not to think of oneself more highly than one ought to. Amen. But to think soberly according to what God has dealt with each and every one of us, the measure of our faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Saints, each and every person has been given gifts. Each of us have talents and abilities. Final glory, it all goes to God. Thank you. We see Paul was tested, and he was hardened in his mission. Saints, listen, during the course of his ministry, Paul was criticized. Paul was beaten. He was nearly stoned to death. He was persecuted. He was jailed. He was ostracized. Paul developed, like these M&M candies, he developed a hard shell. That it was a hard shell against those attacks. It was a hard shell against the danger he faced and fear that he might have been feeling. You know, and his hard shell, praise God, led him to reach the conclusion of Romans 8, 38 and 39. Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ." Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you today, Lord God. And Paul had the approval of God. Paul had God's approval, hallelujah. And Paul's message and mission in life has God's blessing upon it. He used his gifts wisely that God had given to him. And his quest was to reach the mark and to obtain the prize. It wasn't a secular prize. It wasn't a material prize, saints. It was the approval of God. That was the prize, hallelujah. In Philippians 3:14, what does Paul say? I press on toward the prize. Call me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. And what I want to say to you young people today and to all of us, graduates, promoting, let's all strive to simulate the processes of Paul's life that made him confident. Amen. If God has given you an ability that you know God gave you, you know you've got that talent, you know you've got that gift, then don't say, no, I'm not going to use it. Because you're robbing God of glory. You're robbing the saints of being blessed and edified. You're robbing of those who would know about the Lord Jesus. When you say, oh, I don't know. You know, I just don't know. What is it you don't know? All right? God gave it to you. Amen. And we need to rise up. Tell your neighbor, say yes to God. Say yes to God. Use what God gave you. Amen. For God's glory and for the blessing of God's people. Praise God. Now, saints, Paul, he knew that God was going to reward him. And God is going to reward us. And that process involves, and I have it in the notes, I want us to say it together. Put the good stuff inside. Hallelujah. Every believer, we've all got gifts and abilities and talents from God. And it's unique. Some can sing. Some can dance. Some have artistic talent. Oh, some have gift of healing. Some have personalities and verbal communication skills. And yet, as many of us as here today, God has just put that many and more gifts and talents and abilities right here. It's just so many. It's just awesome. It is just awesome. And the purpose for each of these gifts, saints, is so that those of us who receive whatever God gave you, it is so that for not you just to keep it and sit on it somewhere, amen, but to use it for God's glory and to bless others, amen. And doing this will make life satisfying. Amen. Praise your name, Lord. Every one of us has a responsibility to perfect that gift, that talent, that ability that God has given to us. It's something good inside there. Hallelujah. So use it. Amen. Make sure there's good stuff inside. Amen. And use it for the glory of God. Now the second thing to do is what?
Develop a
hard shell. Now these candies have a hard shell. And developing a hard shell, it means becoming immune to negative thoughts and negative criticism, people throwing sticks and stones and backbiting, all this stuff. You get a hard shell that you don't have to say, what you say? I'm going to come over there and pick your face up off the floor or something like that. You don't have to do that. You know, you got this shell, praise God, so that you can let it bounce. I'll pray for you, sister. You know, I'll pray for your brother. You know, because there's something, all right? Have that hard shell, amen. And choose, and hard shell helps us to choose not to participate in negative activities. The GCG, they sing, talking about going down there to the club. Isn't that what y'all saying? All right now, have that shell, places that we don't even need to be, amen. That shell will help us say yes to God and no to the devil, amen. Ain't nothing good down there. Ain't nothing good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Developing that hard shell. Amen. That's what we got to do. And that's what Paul had in mind when he wrote in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, that we should put on the whole armor. Don't you know the armor, that's a shell? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand up against the schemes, the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. Now the hard shell that is developed is not to be so hard that no one can get to you, or so hard that they can't be touched by all the good that's inside. We want others to be touched. We want to keep that candle burning, amen. Hallelujah. See, a hard shell doesn't mean we're bitter. Hard shell don't mean we got a negative attitude. We have to do this all the day. That's not a hard shell. A hard shell doesn't mean negativity. Just as these M&Ms melt in your mouth and not in your hands, each of us saints with a hard shell, it just helps us to know when to say, yes, Lord, and no, devil. Yes, Lord. You a lie, Satan. Yes, Lord, get behind me, Satan. That's what a hard shell helps us to do. So graduates, promotees, your pastors, your family, your church family, we have been installing in you the love of God, the word of God. And we want you to know that not only are you somebody, hallelujah, you are somebody with great potential. You are somebody who God desires to make a difference in the lives of others in this world. Promotees, graduates, each of you have a gene inside of you that is so unique. It is so special. It is so different from any other person in the whole wide world. You are uniquely gifted. God made you one of a kind. Whatever I just, whoever is near you, just tell them, you're one of a kind. You are one of a kind. You're one of a kind. Praise God. God made you one of a kind. Amen. And you owe it to everybody, including yourself, to strive to reach your potential in life. Would all the promotees and graduates please stand? Stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We praise God for you. And as you promote onward, as you graduate onward, be focused. Say that with me.
Be focused.
Stay strong.
Stay strong.
And give God first place in your life. Hallelujah. And God will help you. God will help you to fly toward your various futures, confident in the abilities and the gifts, the talents that God has placed within you, your uniqueness, hallelujah, that you have been blessed with. So everybody here today, whoever is near you, high-five them and say, soar into greatness. Soar. Soar into greatness. Soar into greatness. Soar into greatness. Hallelujah. And as you do, may the Lord continue to bless you and to keep you and shine upon you, both now and forevermore. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we say thank you. Thank you. You are an awesome God. And, oh, God, we thank you that you have uniquely created each of us and you place gifts and talent. There's good stuff on the inside. And, Lord, we pray that you would help us to say yes. Daily say yes to you. And daily say no to Satan and the distraction and the temptation that he would have us take. Oh, God, we thank you that we'll stand with the Apostle Paul knowing that there's nothing that could keep us separated from you. That you, Lord, got our back. You got our future. And you promise that it's good, a good plan, a good purpose for our lives. That you might be glorified and the people of God blessed. And that the world would find you, Lord Jesus, through us. Cover our young people. Cover our graduates. Cover our promotees, oh God. Oh, be near to them today and each and every day. And we say thank you for what you've already done in, through, and for them. And for what you're doing right now. And for what you yet shall do. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that all God's flying, soaring saints all join together to say, amen and amen. Amen, saints. The doors are open, praise God. For you, if you don't know Jesus, come running on down here. Because Jesus says, I got a plan for you to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. I got a plan for you that's so good you can't even imagine. And so just lift your heart to the Lord. Come down. Allow us to pray. Open your heart. Let Jesus come in. And then for those of us that need a miracle, either in our own lives and our lives of our loved ones, come on down. Miracles are in the midst. Our lay pastors will anoint you with the oil of faithfulness, the oil of joy. And God has promised that God's will be accomplished in our lives. God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. All right, let's stand to our feet. Amen. The doors of the church.